Monday, my wife went home to be with the Lord. And, well, me and my family, we all got to say goodbye to her. And she loved this body. She loved the Word. She loved the ministry. She thought the world of Brother Moore and Jeremiah and Brother Jay and Brother Childers. And she talked about them all the time. And whenever she would get upset or get really sick, she would call Brother Moore and say, I just need to hear your voice because it comforts me. But you know what? I stand on this word. No matter what, Satan ain't going to budge me. Oh, I might be down for a minute. I might be sad for a minute. But I won't stay down there long. You know, I dread Saturday. It's my last goodbye to her. But I know she's in a better place. I know she's got her new theophany body. And I wouldn't take that from her for nothing. And she's with her family, with the saints that left here, and they're all rejoicing. And Satan, you think you got me, but you don't. All the words stronger than you are, devil. You might make me sad. You might bring me down a little bit. But God is everything to me. He's all my strength. He's all my hope. And I stand on this word to the end.
Amen. Now, there's people that believe, and there's people that know. A little different. Amen. I was wanting to sing Keep on the Firing Line for some reason. I don't know. They got it back here. You're right. Yeah, I think they got the words if they can bring them up.
Amen.
If you're in the battle for the Lord and the right, keep on the firing line. And if you win, my brother, surely you must fight. So keep on the firing line. There are many dangers that we all must face. If we die in fighting, there is no disgrace. Cowards in the service will find no place. So keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave. keep on the firing line. God will only use a soldier he can trust. Keep on the firing line. If you wear a crown, then bear the cross you.
Hadn't sung it for a while.
Amen.
Strong song. Yeah. No excuses in that song.
No.
Amen. Praise God. Come on, sister.
Amen. I cannot come in here and not thank God for bringing me safely back
right.
to this house.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother Mike. You know we love Sister Donna. Yes. That song says a lot. And I feel like I'm on the firing line sometimes,
Amen.
But my desire was to get back here tonight. I was listening to Brother Jay, of course, you on Sunday, and Monday I was sitting there listening to the tape. Like, why am I leaving Cancun at 4 p.m. when I can leave 4 a.m. and get here to church? Amen. So I swapped it all around, and it's the desire that God has
Amen.
Put in me
Amen.
To to make things like that happen, because it is my desire.
Amen.
But what was real, Pastor, when you preached on Sunday, that temple and that eternal.
Amen.
It just took me back to, I think, when we were in London and you said the soul that we have now
yes.
is the same soul yes. that we're going
right.
to have in eternity.
Right.
And it just,
right.
it keeps getting clearer and clearer. Amen. And I prayed for that dovetail that everybody talks about. I'm like, I want my dovetail. And it's starting to dovetail for me. And
Amen.
That just made so much sense that the soul you have, and it makes you appreciate
Yeah.
how are you presenting yourself yeah. out in the world?
Right.
Because
yeah.
they don't know, but you know.
That's right.
And so I just strive every day to put and manifest what he puts in me.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
It is my
Amen,
Lord.
Amen. Amen. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this evening. You know, this is where we get our strength. This is where we get everything that we need. And, you know, God bless Donna. She got everything she needed.
Amen.
She went on home.
Else.
Well, we got to get what we need before we go home.
That's right.
There must be some reason that we still need to be here working, so that's why we're still here.
Amen.
But it's good to be here today, and it's good to have the right desire, because people can serve God and not have the right desire, and they go after the wrong things. I may not have a lot on this side, but I got the right desire. It's my desire to be like Jesus. It's my desire to be like him. Though oft I failed him and brought him much shame, still it's my desire to be just like him. It's my desire to help someone today, someone who might have failed to find God's way. For I too was once so lost, but God's word has shown me the way, and now it's my only desire to be like him. Oh, if you could see where my Jesus has brought me from, to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love God so. I don't need the pain. It's my desire to be like him. It's my desire to help someone today, someone who might have failed to see God's way. For I too was once so lost, but God's word has shown me the way, and now it's my only true desire to be like him. Jesus has brought me from, to where I am today, then you would know the reason why I love God so. World's wealth and all its riches, for I don't need the pain, for it's my only desire. Yes, it is my desire. desire. God knows it's my only desire to be like Him.
Heaven looking better all the time, man. Amen.
That pretty well sums it up. It's my desire. That desire comes from my soul, and I sure love that way. You know, Brother Brand, when he had that interview with that woman there in the Masterpiece, he was talking about all these things, all these temporary things she was talking about. Brother Brand just pointed her back to the eternal, since this, that doesn't even matter. Yeah. God don't even look at that. He's looking at one thing. He's looking at that desire. Because that desire comes from God.
Right.
You know, it's not my fleshly desire. My flesh pulls toward anything earthly and temporally and everything else. My spirit does the same thing, but my soul is yearning for something eternal. It's yearning and longing to get out of here. It's groaning and travailing, much pain as flesh does. Yes.
Right,
but I'm so grateful that I've got something up to carry me all the way over. Yeah. Like you talked about the other day, I'm on that camel, taking me to my lover, longing to meet him in the eye and the sky. And I'm so thankful for that rest that we have. You know, it's just, I'm never not amazed at God, how awesome He is, and how perfect He is in every way, and everything He does. And you know, we go through life, and you look at Brother Mike and his testimony. I sure enjoy that.
Amen.
You know, to lose a loved one, lose your wife like that, the closest thing to you outside of God, and be able to come in here on a Wednesday night and say it's all right, she'll be all right.
Amen.
Boy, that's touching.
No, so.
It takes a revelation to do that. You know, because this world can't give you anything like that. They can't give you peace, and He'll have His moments. I understand that, but Brother Mike, it's just a few more days.
Amen.
We'll go home, brother.
Amen.
Looking forward to that day.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Yes, Lord. It's good to be here.
Yes,
sir. And I appreciate everybody that's offered me a ride here, because I didn't have wheels for a while. But a friend of mine, 23 years ago, we went to high school together, and I kind of lost touch with him while we were doing a job for a mutual friend. I hadn't seen him in 23 years, and he said, "You want to buy this truck?" And I said, "Yeah, I'm interested in it." I didn't even have the money at the time. And he said, "Well, you need to test drive it." And he made me drive it. And then he said, "Well, take me home. You can just take it home with you now and give me the money when you get it." So that's how I got here tonight. So,
amen.
But I was sitting there thinking about getting up because I needed to give a testimony.
Yes.
You know, most of you know about my hand, and I got my hand back, and it's working pretty good. And they got me
a
heart monitor and things like that. But something I saw Brother Childers do. When he was still working at the rentals with us, you know, I was working for him back then. And Pam and I were kind of concerned a little bit, because in the morning, some days it seemed like he had trouble thinking of things. He confused Washington with Lexington, you know, because he had a ton of property. So sometimes you would mix up the streets and things. But a couple of times, me and Pam looked at each other like, you know, worried about him a little bit. And some people were whispering, maybe he ought to go get in the home. But he got up here one Sunday morning, I think it was, and he said, "I got a sound mind. I'm thankful for a sound mind. I'm sharp as a tack." And then after that, I mean, he was on top of everything, and he'd tell me and Pam two or three things we were forgetting.
Make your confession. So
that was pretty amazing, and I want to do this. If I do the same thing, I'll get the same results.
Amen.
So, and I've been to the neurologist. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do, and but I believe it'll get better even now from here forward.
So, amen, brother.
God bless
you. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless you, body. Brother Mike, I love your profession of faith. I appreciate you.
Yes.
Yes. I love Donna. I love the way she smiled at me and just hugged me and just make you feel special. I have a praise report, and I wanted to thank God. You know, when you have a loved one, you know, my brother, he went under surgery, he had eye surgery, and God brought him through.
Amen.
He can see so much better.
Thank you,
amen. And I gave God praise for that. You know, you look at things in the natural, and the doctor will tell you this, and you just get a little worried, you know, and he is my only natural brother, living brother now. Mm-hmm. And I'm just thankful for that. I'm thankful for a family of God that I can just, you know, just ask for something, and God just fulfilled those prayers.
Amen. Amen. Happy days.
Amen.
Happy days.
See page 182 in the Only Believe book.
Yes.
Where we never grow old. Amen. And we'll get him up.
Amen, Lord.
Sure, he's ready.
Beautiful. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice.
I have heard. Ain't gonna work. Of a land on a far away strand. 'Tis a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high. There we never shall die. 'Tis a land where we'll never grow old. Never grow old. Never.
Never grow old. will never grow old. Never. Dear Lord, thank you for that promise. Lord, thank you for letting us know we're recipients or have been part of you and had eternal life. Lord, that this is land here, this side is just a temporal side, Lord, but we're going to a place that will go on forever and ever. A new heaven, a new earth. Be no pain, no sorrow, no sickness, no parting. Oh, what a day that'll be. And thank you for that promise that you said, let your hearts not be troubled. I go and prepare a place for you. Thank you for another church service, Lord, to fellowship and hear your word. Preach to us, talk to us, Lord. These notes up here, Lord, use them if you want. Put them aside if you want. Have your way. Give the speaker and the hearers what they need, Lord. And be with your bride around the world, Lord. Be with Brother James as he travels back home. And continue to be with Brother Mike and family, Lord. Thank you for his positive testimony this evening. Lord, we continue to bring Brother Trevor before you, Lord. Lord, sometimes the devil would like to say, well, this hasn't worked, that hasn't worked, Lord, but you're God that promised me that where there's breath, there's hope. Oh, your word said, by your stripes we're healed. There's not a sickness too hard for you to take care of. You've already paid the price for it anyhow, and we ask that you move on his behalf. Lord, be with each and every one of us, Lord. We, our daily lives, Lord, we all probably have unspoken requests. You know what they are. You know the need. You said you are the Lord our God and supply all of our needs, Lord, and we're standing on that. Thank you for that promise. Thank you for your love, mercy, and grace. Thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen. You may be seated. Good to see everybody this evening. Always good to be in the house of the Lord. Don't forget, tomorrow we're going to have the young people practice singing for the songs we've been practicing. So 7 o'clock. Take everybody's help. Because we're doing good. When I get to hear a little bit of a preview, I get excited because I know you guys will enjoy it too. Amen. As I talked about it at the Christmas play, I learned some of these kids can sing, and they need to use those gifts that God's given them. So enjoying that and. Enjoyed the testimonies tonight, and definitely glad to see your hands working better, Brother Mike. And you're so right, the other Brother Mike, that your Sister Donna's in a better place. And thank God for a revelation of that. Never grow old there. She wouldn't want to come back here if you could even give her a chance. And it doesn't mean that there wasn't a love there, it's just that she's in that good of a place. she's doing a little bit better than we are, and so... So we thank God for that promise.
Amen.
Enjoyed the songs. You know, we kind of have a little thing right here. You know, we have Brother Dustin help sing these songs, some of these old-time songs we all are still learning. Or we some of us younger don't know. And so it's our behooves us to listen to these songs, you know, so we can carry them on if we need to, if that's what the Lord wants. So we never grow old. I've heard that before. Don't worry about it. But it's been a while. I'll tell you this. I knew the course, but I didn't remember the verses by heart. And I was like, when we first started, I was like, Lord, help me remember this melody because I got to get up there and sing this thing. And it worked out. That's why I'm smiling. But it is a good song. We will never grow old. We thank God for that promise. You know, these songs aren't just to sing to take up time. These songs are to for a lot of reasons. There's revelation behind them. There's worship of God behind them. They're pick me up of you to get you in the spirit behind them. They mean something. That's why the song service is important. Now, we know the word's more the most important part of the service. That changed, but that song service helps. The Bible even tells you, praise him with the music and the harp, and let everything that has breath praise him, you know. Sing with a happy voice, or whatever it says. Make a joyful noise. But that's what God wants. And sometimes you come in here, you know, it's my desire, touch me.
You know, maybe you're not like me. You have to fight out there a little bit. But I know what's first place.
Amen.
Regardless of what's going on, this is the most important thing in my life.
Amen.
And it's good to be reminded.
Yes.
Everything else around you is just temporal anyhow.
Amen.
This too shall pass. That saying still holds true tonight, like it held true when God was dealing with me 20-some years ago, when I thought I was in the worst of the worst condition. You know what God told me then? This too shall pass. I was 16, and I didn't think I could get through my trial. But you know what God told me? This too shall pass. And I'm here to tell you tonight, I don't care how big of an obstacle you think it is. I don't care how tough it feels. I don't care how much the devil's talking to you. I don't care how many days in a row you're in the molly grubs, and it's hard to get out of them. This too shall pass. You can look the devil in the face and say, I will outlast you. That's like Brother Moore says in here. He's about church. I'm going to outlast you. And like he taught us this about Brother Childers. Brother Childers would say, I'm the only one that's got it. Brother Moore finally learned he could say, I'm the only one that's got it. Well, you know what I feel tonight? I'm going to outlast you, devil. You can leave, but I'm not going to leave, because I got something in me that's eternal. That's not just temporal. It ain't going to just last. I don't care if it lasts 20 years. I don't care if it lasts 40 years. I don't care if I have a habit my whole life.
Yeah,
all 80 years I live, I'm going to tell you one day.
Amen.
That too will pass. Because I'm going to a place where I will have a new soul, a theophany, and a glorified body. I will be right in all three rims, one way or the other.
Amen.
If God wants it fixed on this side, it'll pass on this side.
Yeah.
If I'm the habit on this side, I'll get it take care of by the time I get on the other side.
Yeah.
I can go down a list for you if you want me to. Oh, I wish I could quit smoking. Well, one day you will.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I could quit drinking. One day you will.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish I didn't have that habit. One day you won't.
Yeah.
Don't worry about too much. This too will pass. And let God just talk to you. If he wants to deal with you on this side, he'll take care of it. And I believe on this side he can take care of things. He's done it in my life. But I don't have condemnation at all about the things that are still in my life. Because one day I'm going to drop it one way or the other. You know, it's funny. I was thinking this week, sometimes God likes us to have things. You say, what do you mean? Well, that's what he told Paul. Paul, you need that. That'll keep you humble.
Amen.
Where I made me think of it, I just heard a song on the radio about grace, and I thought, you don't even know how to really appreciate grace or give grace until you really need it.
Amen.
You know, and I was even thinking, I'm not even really talking about a white lie. You know, that little thing that we rank as humans, because we still have a ranking system. This one's worse than that one. Of course, God told us guilty of the least is guilty of the whole.
Amen.
And that's really how God would tell you about it. But in our human minds, because we're human and we're finite, we'll rank some. That was just a little problem. This is a big problem. But I really think sometimes, unless you go through something pretty big in your mind, you don't really know how to appreciate grace the way you need to appreciate grace. And we know that we want to live good and do what's right. But sometimes God lets those things happen because that allows him to manifest the attribute he has.
Amen.
Says, I'm a savior. I'm a grace giver.
Yes.
You need me.
Yes.
So even when the devil's telling you you're bad, just tell him, God, I'm getting experience God's grace.
That's right.
You say, here you go again. No, I'm not telling you to live bad. I'm telling you to live good. But I know this. I need the amazing grace of God. I need it every day of my life.
Amen.
And you know what? Because I need it, it makes it a little easier for me to give it.
That's right.
I was listening to today, and they were talking. You know, this world's crazy. Here it is. The word's right, people.
Amen.
Even when I'm guilty of what I just told you I'm guilty of, the word is right.
Amen.
Even when I'm the one that's wrong, the word is right.
Amen.
But, you know, people have problems, and you know, now I'll go back to the way God looks at it. You know, we think, well, my problem's just smoking, and that's a normal problem. And this person's problem over here, I don't know, we'll use vanilla ice cream like we do, but it's the one that's on your top 10. No, I don't, because it'll hurt your feelings. But it's just a problem that's come with the sex program that people struggle with. And I know what the word says. And if asked what the truth is, I'll tell you the truth.
Right.
But I also got to know how to treat people and deal with them in love, mercy, and grace. Sometimes people do need a sharp rebuking. Sometimes people need to know that you can love them regardless of the problem they find themselves in. And the issue is the world's not balanced. Even what the so-called Christians aren't balanced. Thank God we have it right down the line. Because I believe the people who know how to deal with human beings the best is the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
People don't know how to give grace.
Amen.
And they have their own problems, yet they think one's bigger than the other. So they you did abortion. You're a murderer. And you know what they wouldn't do? They wouldn't take a vaccine to help somebody in their life. Wouldn't put a mask on to help somebody in their life. I'm just giving you an example. I ain't preaching that, but I'm just trying to say we get unbalanced. That ain't my message. Let me get there. I'm safer over here. St. Matthew, the 7th chapter. I'm excited. I love this word. I've enjoyed the messages of late. You can't talk about eternal things and temporal things and me not be excited. And Brother Moore's message covered that, and it covered the right kind of marriage. And while he was preaching, it got me thinking about a scripture, and I was texting Brother Moore and James. You know, it never works when you try to direct the service from the front row. You know, when you have friends, you go, don't say this in front of my friend or the person you're bringing first time. Because, like, Brother Moore, please don't read that scripture. Please don't read that quote. Because we tell you all the time, we typically get our message from the service before, a service or two before, something gives you inspiration. He's probably 20 minutes, 30 minutes is preaching. I thought, ooh, that is good thought. And, you know, then as when you think those things, sometimes you think about the quote that might back it or the scripture that might back it. Things start running through your head, and I thought, he's got too much time to cover all this. I ain't going to have a chance to say it. And he did get the one quote I had thought of, but I brought it anyhow. And but he didn't get the scripture I'm going to read, so I at least have that. So I want to turn over to St. Matthew, the 7th chapter. And when I start reading it, you'll start thinking a lot of good thoughts. And you'll know right why I was excited about it too, because I know how we are. But St. Matthew, the 7th chapter, and I'm going to jump down to verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it.
Amen.
My title tonight is A Wise Man Builds His House Upon a Rock.
Amen.
Lord, help me to not jump too far ahead, but I'm excited about this because you know what? I was thinking about this, the house. Let me start this way. I can make that as small and personal for you and pretty big. First house is right here.
Right.
It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord.
Right.
Standing in the need of prayer. I could come over here and say, this is my house.
Yeah.
Gets a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
And that's a house I want built on a rock.
Yes.
Brother Moore could look at this entire church.
Amen.
And say, this is the house of the Lord.
Right.
And you know what he wants it built upon? The Word of God.
Amen.
The revelation of the Word.
Amen.
And I can make it so big up here that Jesus said, I will build my church upon this rock and the gates of hell will not prevail against it.
Amen. Come on, Lord.
And so I want to start right here.
Because
that's what he was talking about a little bit Sunday, the right kind of marriage. And he even said, if you have been born again, we shouldn't even talk about marriage.
Right.
You know what born again means? You start building your house up on a rock.
Right.
Now,
right.
Let me say a few things here. The rock in the Bible means revelation.
Right.
Revelation of the Word of God.
Because
we're going to jump back and forth between the natural and the spiritual a little bit. But when we say build a house upon a rock, what Jesus is saying, build your house on the Word of God.
Yes.
That's your foundation. That's what's going to stand.
Right.
The Bible says he's the chief cornerstone.
Amen.
And, you know, there's builders in here who describe better than me, but that cornerstone is what holds the whole house together.
Right.
It's kind of the foundation stone that holds the whole thing together. But, you know, I was thinking in the natural, we all know it. You know, we've seen houses, we've seen things not built on a solid foundation. And as that ground starts shifting, you know what happens to that house? It starts shifting, moving right along the ground, and a straight wall becomes a slanted wall. You walk on the floor and it's uneven because it's not built on a solid foundation. That's why that when they build a house here in Ohio and they go deeper in other places because it's colder. You have to go 3 feet down at least because they want that solid foundation that when no matter how cold it gets or what storms come, that house will stand as it was built and withstand and not move regardless of what's going on around it. Give you a couple more natural examples. I haven't even told my wife this one, but I've noticed when I went to the ocean. Because, you know, have you ever walked on concrete and walked in the ocean, in the sand? Oh, yeah. You walk on the sand, you got to watch where you step. Yeah. It's not an even step. Yes. You step one, you go down further than the next step. Yeah. It's hard. You got to be careful to stay balanced. Yeah. And I've even noticed when I've went, runners don't really run on the beach. If they do, they run as close to the water as they can because that's the most padded down sand there is. That's solid. But all that sand that you would run on that's uneven, they don't like to run on that because they got to keep their balance. And it's already hard enough to run. So even when they're at the ocean, you know where long distance runners run? On pavement. On rock. Because that's where they can keep their balance. That's where they can stand. And so I wanted to bring those natural things in to understand that's what Jesus was trying to use a natural type to tell us that we should build our house upon a rock. Amen. And that rock is the revelation of the Word of God. It's the only thing that won't change. It's what is eternal. All these other things that we might build our lives on are temporal. I don't want to jump too far ahead, but we know it. Yeah. I see it. Yeah. You can have a good job today and lose it tomorrow. That's right. And I'm not, you know, in where I work, I've done all right. And I've gotten pretty promoted. But I'm going to tell you this, I could lose my job tomorrow. That's right. I'm just being honest with you. Because we think, I mean, I might be one of the last people, but it can happen. Amen. I can't depend on it.
No.
I can't stand on it. It can change tomorrow. Oh, I got my favorite car. I got so much money. Your money can be worth so much one day and not anything the next day. People had money in 401k that was worth a lot and only took a little bit of time and it was worth a lot less. These human things that we build things on, Brother Moore. These temporal things are what will not last. They're shaky. You can't build things on emotion. You can't build on it because it feels good. You can't build on it because somebody else is doing it. You can't build on anything that could change tomorrow. But what you can stand on is the solid Word of God.
Amen.
The Bible even says, let every man's word be a lie, but God's word's true.
Amen.
Heaven and earth might pass away, but not one word of God will ever fail.
Amen.
Oh, that gets me excited.
Amen.
Oh, I'm going to make it real to you personally here in a little bit. But I'm just telling you, you can't stand on these human natural things. You can't depend on the president. I don't care how good they are. You can't, you know, Brother Branham used that illustration. And I, you know, this means I don't have to reach here. We're all familiar with Scripture, Matthew 16. I'll build my church upon a rock. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. And the Catholic Church said, that's Peter. And Brother Bram said, we're all in trouble then. Because Peter denied Christ three times. Why in the world would you build a church on that? Catholic Church, even today, would tell you the bones of Peter underneath their temple over there in Rome, I think. Right, John? But that's carnal. And temporal,
right.
And built on a human.
Amen.
And I've read this plenty of places, but I read one last night. I loved how Brother Branham said, I think I even have it in there. He said, and then the Protestants say it's built upon Jesus.
Right.
And the one I read last night said, there's a truth to that, but you got to know how to say that the right way.
Amen.
Because just saying it's built upon Jesus, the man, ain't quite right either.
Oh.
Jesus the man could die. What it is really built upon, what you could say is Jesus on one side is the revelation of the Word of God. The Word of God.
Amen.
And Jesus was the Word made flesh, so he connected to Jesus. Right. But what God really built his church upon was his Word.
Amen.
That's the thing that'll last.
Yeah.
That's the thing that will stand.
Yeah, it will.
That's why even Brother Moore can come in here and preach Sunday and say, you look at that guy and he's, maybe he's fit, or he does open doors for you as examples. That's all good, and that can carry on for the rest of your life. But that's not what you build a home on.
No,
the girl looks good, or she cooks a certain way. I don't know, just examples. Certain things they do in the natural that pleases you. That's all good. You can do that as long as you want on this side, and let it be part of your marriage.
Right.
But that's not what you can build it on.
Right.
Because I'm here to tell you, I've been married almost 16 years now. And other people could say more about this than me, but one day you're going to get in a little bit of a dispute.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you're going to get in a little bit of a disagreement.
Yeah,
and everything that seemed so great for a period of time, I won't even tell you how long it has to be. It don't have to last for long. It lasts as long as you let it. But for the space of time, you're going to be upset at each other for a minute until you put the Word of God on it.
Yeah.
And notice what you have to put on it to fix it. The Word. But the other thing you're standing on, you're mad at each other.
Right.
And the only thing that's going to really, truly bring you back together is you come back to that one thing you have in common.
Amen.
The Word.
That's right.
Let's shake yourself off, back off again. Let's stand on the thing that we can stand on that's firm.
Right.
And then the rest of it will work out.
Yeah.
That works in marriage that way. And if you're not married, it works in your individual life that way.
Amen.
What you build your life on is the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, I want to start with this house, like I said, because Brother Branham made a comment, and I'll read it. I like to bring things back that we've said before. I found Brother Moore's quote. I'm going to read it first, and I'm going to read a second one. I found basically saying the same thing. Brother Branham said, and this is from The Worst Sinner in the City, 1956. God bless you, God bless you. Just stand there. God bless you, little boy. Look at this little fellow coming down, about 12 years old. Shame on some of you old people, your heart callous. Smutty and black. Statistics show that 98% of people are saved before they're 21 years old. You get so set in your ways, you think you're right. That's what he said, right? And that's what Brother Moore brought, and Brother Schultz was like, I don't think I ever heard that quote. Well, I was studying this week, and I wasn't purposely looking for this quote, but Brother Branham preached a message in 1963. He said, come, follow me.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, it talked about how he was actually preaching to youth more than he was preaching to adults. He was talking to kids. And out of this message, I just want you to listen to what he says. Here's what it is. What kid is going to come out? Now, no matter where it is, what's in it is going to come out. If it's evil in there, it'll come out in the Indian camp. Now, right before this, he was talking about how he looked at the world, and he said, I almost feel like taking my kids out of school and just taking them and live like the Indians did. And, you know, some people imagine think you got to homeschool your kids, but Brother Branham said, I decided that ain't really what I need to do because they're going to be evil there just like they're going to be evil there.
That's right.
It's what's in them is what he's trying to say. If it's good there, it'll come out in any camp. See, it's what's in the kid, the makeup of the kid, what's on the inside of you, and what you are now is what you'll probably be the rest of your life. You're on a changing spot. Do you know that? Now listen to this. It just shows you he didn't forget this thought. Now use a different percent, but he said the same thing. 86% of conversions to Jesus Christ is done before you're 21 years old.
Yeah.
It shows it. Statistics show it. 86% that come to Christ come before the 21.
Right.
You, after you pass that age, you become more molded and set in your ways. Oh, it's possible, sure. They come 70, 80 years old, but it's very rare.
Yeah.
Now you say, why are you starting there? Because I was thinking about some of you young kids. I'll just be honest with you.
Right.
Now let me say this to you. You can be 90 years old and get a new birth.
Right.
We're one in a million to start with.
That's right.
That stat is in the 99.999999% anyhow. So we're in a rare category.
Yeah.
But this, Brother Branham doesn't say anything for nothing. He's trying to send a message. You should take God serious when you're young.
Amen.
You need to start building your life, your house, on a rock. Amen. As soon as you start, you need to establish your own personal relationship with God. As soon as you can understand and get a clear understanding of what I'm talking to you about. Amen. You know, we were studying one time looking for an age, but you know, really it's just when you're to an age where you listen to the Word of God and you get a new birth. Amen. But the point I want to make, you don't have to wait till you're 30. You don't have to wait till you're 25. You don't even have to wait till you're 20. You can get born again at 12, 13, 14. If this word I'm speaking to you is making sense to you and God is talking to you, that is just as good as recognizing your day in this message, which is having the evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost or having the new birth. Oh, that should excite you. Because many churches would have you do so many things to prove you're born again. But all God requires of you is that you want to serve Him, that you amen His word, that it becomes a clear understanding to you, and nobody can take that away from you. Oh, I don't want to just repeat it. But like I told you, I came to church. When I was young, I thought Brother Joe was going to preach an hour and a half or 2 hours. I hope it's short today. That's how kids think. But like I told you, one day I said, I'm here, I might as well listen. Amen. And I wasn't 20 years old. I was younger. But you know what? It started making sense. It started connecting. I got a new birth. And I'm not here to talk about me. I'm really here to talk about, to try to convict, get you a little bit. But I want you to know God can deal with you. And building your life on this word is the best thing you can do. Amen. Oh, it's not the popular thing. Oh, it's not what makes you fit in at school. It's not even what makes you fit in at work, even at 43 years old. But it's the most important thing you can get a hold of in your life is God in your life. Get a new birth. Get a clear understanding. Get a revelation. Start building your life on that rock of God's word. Amen. Your life won't be any better. It can't be any more solid. You'll have answers the rest of the world don't have.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I've lived long enough too now. You see that there's people that don't go to church that do have some good lives. Oh, yeah. I'm not here to tell you that you can't go to the world and figure it out on your own and have some good blessings. But I'm here to tell you that's still temporal. Right. But I'm here to tell you too, that's a way, but it ain't the way. Right. And no matter how good it is, they don't have the same promise and understanding that we get from the Word of God.
Amen.
You realize there's people in the world that have a good life, that their worry is saving the world and figuring out how they're going to save this world. Amen. They have to worry about the world coming to an end. Amen. But you and I are in here this evening. That's not really our concern. It's not that I hate the world. I just understand it's got to be changed. And this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And I thank God for a promise. I'm going to a place where we'll never grow old. That I will live evermore and there'll be no crying and no parting and no sorrow, no sickness. But the reason and how you get there is you build your life on that rock. And the starting point of that is you get a new birth.
That's right.
That's why we say it all the time, you must be born again.
Amen. Amen.
Now here's the other kicker. I was thinking a little bit this week. I thought, but you got to want it for yourself. Amen. Oh, that I don't know. Maybe, you know, for us that's done that, maybe that doesn't seem a big deal to you. But I thought, if you're choosing to serve God or not, that's a big deal. Yeah. You know, I got a quote up here. Let me read it because I like it. You know, when you have the choice, that puts a little bit on you. It's a good thing. Brother Branham in Choosing the Bride, he said, in many things of life, we are given a choice. The way of life itself is a choice. We have a right to make our own way. Choose our own way that we want to live. Education is a choice. We can choose whether we're going to be educated or whether we're not going to be educated. That's a choice we have. Right and wrong is a choice. Every man, every woman, boy and girl, he didn't stop at just the old one, has to choose whether they are going to try to live right or not live right. It's a choice. Choice is a great thing. Your eternal destination is a choice. You say, I've always been eternal. Well, how that works, we've already told you, is foreknowledge of God. He saw that you chose to serve Him. And then He predestinated you. But your eternal destination is a choice. You know, that's why I love how Brother Morris has been saying that marriage is really only for the Christian. The world don't want nothing to do with the Word of God. So why am I trying to force the Word of God on them and make them abide by a Christian ceremony? They might as well do what's in their heart to make them happy. But I'm here talking to what I consider believers. But you got to want it for yourself. Otherwise, what I'm saying to you is old-fashioned. It's old fogey. You'll think we're a cult. You'll think we're crazy. If that's what you think, I would tell you, you're better off going out there and finding something to make you happy. But this is not a cult. This is not crazy. This is the Word of God that you can stand on and build your life on. But you got to believe that for yourself. I can't do that for you. You got to choose to say that's the truth. You got to really believe this is the Word of God. That God wrote this. I can't do it for, I believe it is. But you got to believe it for yourself. Old or young, if you ain't been born again, you got to believe this thing for yourself. And if you're young and you're hearing me, you're either going to believe what I'm telling you or you're not. Or it's made clear to you or it's not. But mommy and daddy can't do that for you. They can bring you to church for so long. But there comes a day, Brother Moore, where you got to choose to serve God for yourself. Amen. And I'm going to tell you like Jesus told you. A wise man builds his house upon a rock. Gets this word and stands on it. And uses it in his life. Because hold it to God's unchanging hands. Amen. The unwise built upon sand. Built upon a marriage. Built upon a boyfriend, built upon a job, built upon an education. Those things will fail you. When the dollar loses its value, there ain't no job safe. I just tell you the truth. You say, that's strong, that's going to make me worry. Well, I'm here to tell you it's real. If the dollar has no value, what you're getting paid won't do anything for you anyhow. Your degree won't matter. Your job won't matter. And one day that's coming, people, because it's going to crash so bad that Rome has got to save us. So don't stand on your career and your job or your college education. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you're not going to change this world and save it and convince me that I need to change the Word of God to accept a condition that's not right according to the Word of God. Now, I believe in treating people right. I believe in having grace for conditions and all that. But you're not going to make me deny the Word of God and make something right that's not right, Brother Moore. I'm not going to compromise. But that's what they'll teach you in the school systems. You know, my own kids go to a school that was in the news for having transgender bathrooms or not, gender neutral. Now, I'm here to tell you, I know how to deal with people, but right's right and wrong's wrong, Brother Moore. That is Satan's Eden, no matter how kind I want to be. That is Satan's Eden, no matter how big the college institution tells me I got to do something this way or that way. That is the Satan's Eden, no matter how much psychology says I should be different about it. That is still the devil's system. Now you say, Jeremiah, you got to have grace. Trust me, I do. I would shock you how much grace I have. But I'm just here to tell you that's what the world teaches. That's why Brother Moore can be up here Sunday and say, you're going to let the school system teach your kids? That's what they're teaching. Somebody's got to give them the rock, the solid Word of God. Amen. Somebody's got to bring them to church. Somebody's got to say, here's what's right and here's what's wrong. Amen. Be kind to everybody. Get along with everybody. Amen. Show a good spirit towards everybody. Right. But don't get caught up in Satan's Eden to the point where you think God's Word's wrong and you're right. God's Word's right regardless of how much they tell you. Build your house upon this rock. Yes, sir. We'll get to marriage here in a little bit, but this individual house, you need your own new birth. You got to believe God for yourself. You are the one that needs to get baptized. You're the one that needs to pray. You're the one that needs to hear Sister Christy get up and say, I take a little scripture with you to school because I had this one. You know, I told you I'm not here talking about myself, but I got told that once before. And you know what I did? I wrote a little scripture. And put it in my pocket. Not because mom told me to. Not because dad told me to. Because I was coming here for myself. Yes. And I was listening to the word of God. Yes. And it says, I want what they got. Yes. I want to be an overcomer. Yes. I want to whip the devil. And so I applied it to my life. Yes. Nobody can really do that for you. No. Your parents help you a long way. Yes. I help my kids still today. But there comes a time for every one of us. Yes. You're of age. Yes. That's what they said about that blind man and his parents. They came to them and said, your son got healed on the Sabbath. What do you know about it? He's of age. Ask him. Oh, that gets me excited. I want to be of age. I ain't standing on mommy. I ain't standing on daddy. Come talk to me. I'm going to this church on my own. Whether you come or not, as for me and my house that's built upon a rock, we will serve the Lord. Oh, it's got to start that personal. Oh, before we worry about having a home with kids and wife, it's got to start that personal. You got to build it on a rock, your own life first. That's what Brother Bram said. Get the token for yourself first. Then apply it to your loved ones. But don't apply it to your loved ones before you have it yourself. Oh, you got to build your own house upon a rock. It doesn't matter what mom does, dad does, husband does, wife does, kids do, aunt does. Popularity does. Right. You get this thing for yourself. Amen. To the point where nobody can take it away from you. Right. Oh, I'm glad to be fellowship with my parents again. Amen. I'm glad they're back. Amen. I ain't got negative things to say. Amen. I'm not here to tell you I stayed when they left. Amen. But you know what that was? Why that was? Is I was on a sure foundation. Amen. My house was built upon a rock. Amen. I had my own revelation. Amen. I had God for myself. Amen. I knew what I wanted for myself. Oh, I don't know that much about this Jesus. You might say this about Jesus. You might say this about Brother Children. You might say this about Brother Moore. All I know is I was blind. But now I see. Oh, his parents ran away from him. They didn't want to get stoned to death. They said, ask him. Oh, that boy had his own revelation. He stood there for himself. He said, you might not like it. And you might want to stone me. And you might want to crucify him. Yeah. Oh, I know I was blind. But now I see. Oh, that's what you need in your own life. Get a revelation for yourself. Then let the winds come. Let the storms come. Let parents leave. Let job losses happen. Let family members die. You're standing here because you got a personal relationship with Jesus. That's what we need. You got to have it. You got to build your house upon a rock. Oh, I hope I can get through the church. If I don't, it's about me tonight. I need to build my house upon a rock. That's like Brother Moore said. I'm going to start right here. As for me and my house, this house you're looking at, we will serve the Lord. No matter who else does it around me. No matter if there's 2 in here or 1,000 in here. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You don't have to wait till you're old. You don't have to wait. It's not in the years. It's in the yielding. Let me read it. Brother Bram, I think I got one here. He said, I don't care how slow you build on the rock. Just build on the rock. You can build fast. Get a solid house fast. You can build slow. That's okay, too. You can be a 50 light bulb, 100 watt light bulb. Lay an egg or give the ham. But just build on a rock. That's what you got to do. And you got to do that for yourself. You know, I hate to tell you, I ain't going to be able to slow down and find it. No, he said it. You can do it fast. You can do it slow. He just said build on a rock. You know, the story about David, as you study a youth, you can't help but read about David. And they're talking about how Goliath got there. And David was tired of Goliath defying the armies of the living God. He's like, who is this? Defying the armies of the living God. And you know, Saul, people looked around and said, David, this man that you're talking bad about that won't go out there and fight him has been a soldier since his youth. And you are only a youth. Who are you to think you can go out there and defeat Goliath? But David had something they didn't have. He had built his house upon a rock. He had a revelation. He was standing on a sure foundation. Psalm 62, let's read it. He was standing on a rock where he's like, I know what God can do. I know what he's promised us. And that guy ain't going to defeat the armies of the living God. I'm going to defeat him because God's with me. That's what David knew. Psalm 62, verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth on God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. He's saying, you might not like me, and you might have mischief against me, but I'm standing on a rock, and you're the one that's going to fall down. You're tall, going back and forth, getting ready to bow. The only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. But then David starts talking about himself again. My soul waits thou up only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength, my refuge is in God. Oh, you could go on and keep reading. But David was saying, you don't like me. You're trying to cast curses on me. You don't even serve God. You're bowing back and forth. You're falling down. But I'm standing on a rock. And God is my rock. He's my salvation. He's my defense. And what did he say? I shall not be moved. I'm solid. That rock is a revelation. Brother Branham said, faith is a revelation. I was thinking this week, the first thing it says in Hebrews 11, the elders attained a good report by it.
Right.
Why? Because they've been standing on a rock.
Amen.
Building on a rock for all these years.
Amen.
They went through many things and stood right there no matter what came their way.
Amen.
They were houses built upon a rock so they could outlast the devil every time.
Amen.
Oh, that's what we got to do.
Amen.
Old or young.
That's right.
But if I was young today, I'd be saying, you got to choose to build your house upon a rock.
That's right.
You must be born again.
Amen.
That's the only way it works.
Amen.
Brother Branham says, kids, come follow me. Each one of you seem like mine, seems just like my sons and daughters in one way you see spiritually speaking. The Lord has put your souls in my care because you come, listen to me. You believe me, see? That's what he's talking to, his believers.
Amen.
That's why I'm telling you, you got to want it for yourself.
Yes,
otherwise, it's nonsense to you. You'll think he calls you a buzzard. In one sense, the word, you are my sons and daughters, that's right. Always remember, keeping the commandments of God is a great thing. Now listen to this. Being raised in a good home is a heritage from God. And to be fine kids with personalities as you have, good. Wonderful to have an education. It's wonderful to even live in this free land. We got so many things to be thankful for.
Amen.
But there's only one thing that you just don't inherit. You got to accept it. That's eternal life.
Amen.
You only do that by following Jesus, by a born again experience.
Amen.
Don't neglect that. He was even complimenting them for being raised in a good home, having a good personality, being there, listening to him. So you can come to this church and not even have a born-again experience. That's why he says it's good you're here, it's good you have a good personality, it's good you're raised in a good Christian home. But there's one thing you don't disinherit. You must be born again. You got to build your house upon a rock. You know, Brother Moore said it Sunday in a different way. He says, if you don't take your role serious, Satan will knock you out of here so fast. That's paraphrasing, but that's basically what he said. That applies to every really one of us. If you don't get your own born-again experience, if you don't choose to serve God for yourself, There will come a time where you'll walk out these doors. Amen. And the devil will take you for a walk. And it's your choice. A woman will take you out of here. A man will take you out of here. A job will take you out of here. Oh, I just want to get out of Ohio. We'll take you out of here. Oh, I want to go to college here. We'll take you out of here. But the best advice you can do is build your life on the Word of God. And let Him lead and guide you. He might even send you to that college. But what you want to do is build your life on the Word of God. The solid rock I stand. And let that inside teacher start leading, guiding you all through life. Amen. Let the preacher talk to you and let it get real to you. Amen. Get a clear understanding and build your life around that. And you'll be a better worker. You'll be a better friend. You'll be a better person. But most importantly, you'll have eternal life. Amen. Have something you can stand on. But there's many benefits of following. You'll have a good marriage. You'll have a good job. You'll have a nice house. And not that all those things had to happen. But if you follow the instruction of God, those things typically happen. Yeah. You work hard, you get paid for working hard, Brother Destin. Yeah. That's what typically happens. Those are just natural benefits you get from building your house upon this rock, but they're real. Amen. And you get them because you listen, and God will bless you. But whether it's a house or whatever it is, build your house, your individual life. Get a new birth for yourself. And let God lead and guide you. That's the main thought. I'm going to keep going here about a couple of other things that I got from Sunday. I think Brother Moore was saying, right kind of marriage. He's trying to tell you, you got to have the right foundation. You got to get a born-again experience for yourself. You got to be looking for the right thing. You know what you're doing? We'll go a little outside yourself now. You're starting to build your life. You're starting to build what you want. The quote he read that I have here tonight, and I'll paraphrase it since he read it. He says, the type of wife a man will select shows his ambition, shows his character. It shows what he wants for his future. Amen. Why? Because that's who he's picking to live life with and raise his kids by. Amen. And so I just got to thinking, these all things are just building on top of each other. And when you're building these things on top of each other, you want a sure foundation. Amen. You want a new birth for yourself. Amen. And new births can happen after you're married. So don't get that offline. I'm just talking to those that ain't married for a minute. You want that new birth. Because that's that solid foundation that you can start building everything else on. Yeah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added up on you. Built up on. You can build your career around it. You can build your life around it. You know, many of us in here, and I don't put any of us in a box, but many of us in here have built our lives in this general area. Despite that, this maybe for some of us wouldn't even be where we wanted to live, Brother Duskin. But why that is Brother Moore always gives his example. God told him this is his church. God's got to tell you this is where your rock is, your word is. It's not these four walls. It's talking about that revelation of the word. And when it gets you just right, you're saying, Lord, what do you want out of my life? Where do you want me to live? Where do you want me to work? What do you want me to do? And it's not forced. See, that's what I love about this church. See, that's why the devil can't call me a cult. We don't force nobody to do anything. Matter of fact, all of us in here, I think we could all raise our hands and say we all have probably different problems. And yet we all come in here, and God doesn't turn any of us away and send any of us out of here because you have this problem but not this problem. God doesn't force any of us anything that you got to be like so-and-so. He deals with us individually with a personal relationship, talks to us. Thank God for that. There's things He's taken out of my life. There's still things in my life. That's not what allows you to come in here. Not God's got grace for you, and He'll keep talking to you, and He'll change it when He wants.
Amen.
But thank God we have it. This ain't a forced thing. It's a want-to thing.
Amen.
That's what John said, give me the book.
Yes.
Oh, he didn't have to be forced the book. Amen. Give me the book.
Yes.
I want it. I'll take it. I'll eat it.
Amen.
You got to want that for yourself.
Amen.
And you know, if time lasts long, you'll be up here like Brother Deskins. Just stand up, you look solid. You know, I don't know, I was just watching, it was me tonight. He's standing here, his Brother Morris singing My Desire, his eyes are closed. And he probably was praying a little bit, he's just mouthing the words. But I could watch him, it was just like he was thinking about them and they were real to him. And he was meditating on them. He'd been here a while. He's thinking, it's been my desire for a long, long time. And I ain't tired yet. And it's still my desire. But that all started because he built his house
Amen.
Upon a rock.
That's right.
I believe I've seen pictures of you at least in your 20s. It might have been earlier. You was here pretty young.
Oh, yeah.
20, building your house upon a rock.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible tells you to do.
Amen.
That build on that sure foundation.
Amen. That's right.
Then all these other things will take care of themselves. But you know what? When you build up on that rock, it starts. That rock is my defense. It's my salvation. You start putting God first, and you start getting stronger, and roots start getting in, and you're even more unmovable because you're just getting stronger in this Word. And all it takes is the new birth to have eternal security. But as you eat more and more Word, you get stronger. The devil has to get a bigger blow to try to knock you down, and even then he fails. But what happens is when you build your life on that sure foundation, when you do go start looking for a spouse, you say, Lord, I want the right kind of marriage. I want the right kind of husband or woman. Because I know, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. That's why it's got to be so important that you started right there. I want a man I can serve God with. I want a woman that I can serve God with. And you know what? We can choose to do it otherwise. And people have. And Brother Moore used those examples on Sunday. That is our choice. I'm just trying to give you an example. You start building your house in that rock, and you'll start trying to make sure everything starts centered around that. Because, you know, when you build a house, Brother Dustin, you don't build on the foundation, then build away over here off the foundation on solid ground. On solid ground, you stay on the same foundation, and you go up. But not off it. You just raise up on it. You got to have a foundation under you.
Amen.
And they built some pretty tall buildings. And then you build them, you know, it starts with the foundation, you build up with beams and things, but there's a way to do it.
Amen.
They know what angles to put those beams to handle the most load. And that's what God does to us. Every time he comes here, he just gives us a, take that beam, build it that way.
Amen.
But it all started with that first revelation.
Amen.
One revelation, much information,
right.
Building, building, building on that house. And then it goes from this house
right.
to maybe one day, if God's willing, you'll have a family. You'll have a wife. You'll have a husband. Then it becomes a little bigger house.
Amen.
But you know that what you a real Christian wants is that same house built upon a rock.
Amen.
Then you have kids. And your house gets a little bit bigger. And you know what your desire will be because you've started with building a house in that sure foundation. I want to raise them right. I want to help them along the way. How do I help them get what I got? I don't know. At least that's my desire. You parents have done it before me, but I'm thinking, I ain't trying to make Riley be certain way. I just want her to love God.
Amen.
All the rest will take care of herself.
Amen.
I don't care if she has this problem. Just get a revelation.
Get
and then the rest, start building on the rock.
Right.
And the rest, I just trying to bring her here long enough. And Adeline here long enough. And Levi here long enough. You know what? All I'm trying to do is get them to a new birth.
Amen.
Once I get them to a new birth, in one sense, my job's over.
Amen.
Now, spiritually speaking, in a natural, I help them along the way, and yes, spiritually, I can guide them and give them answers, but really, I ain't got to worry about them once they get that new birth. Let come what may. This too shall pass. I just want them to build a house upon a rock. And that's what, you know what, then that all started, not because it didn't happen after I got married, it happened before I got married. Happened with my own individual house. As for me and my house, we will serve God. And then as my house got bigger, as for me and my house, we will serve God.
Right.
And as my house got bigger, as for me and my house, we will serve God.
Amen.
And I bet you, if you ask grandparents, you know what their probably biggest desire is for their grandkids?
Right.
I'm not a grandparent. But I bet you if you ask them in here,
yeah.
One day, you know what they probably want more than anything? Get them to a house built on a rock. That's it. But you know where it started? It all started right here at this house. Gotta get that first.
That's right.
Then it can go out. And I don't have time to go through that, but we know what Jesus said.
Yeah.
Upon this rock, I'll build my church.
Amen.
And it was the revelation of the Word.
Amen.
And Paul even said, in that same area that Jesus was the chief cornerstone, he referenced the apostles. Because they had the true Word.
Right.
If any man preaches any other thing to me, let him be accursed.
Right.
Paul knew he had the full Word of God. And he knew that you could stand on that full Word of God. And that's what Jesus started building his church upon.
Amen.
Was the pure, full Word of God.
Amen.
And he wouldn't even come and cap it off until what? It was restored back
right.
to that perfect Word of God.
Right.
He was the cornerstone, the capstone. He was both things. But he wouldn't have been satisfied part word. He started building on the full word of God. That's why he says, I'm Alpha and Omega. He started building word upon word. And really, all down through churches, they had the word of God for their age. That church was built upon the word for their age. And he built all seven ages, what on? The word. On the same foundation it started on. He didn't have to change it. He didn't have to start over. He got it finished. And it was a perfect masterpiece. And you know what his bride does? They want nothing but his word. They don't reject him. They don't turn him down. Why? We've been built upon the revelation of God. We said, I do. As individuals, we said it as a bride of Jesus Christ. We're married to him, capped off, standing on our own feet, solid. Like David said, you are my rock, and I will not be moved. I'm glad to be able to say that. Oh, I had many things on here. Brother Bram said, you know, you start building your house on your rock, you know what you want to do? You want to even have your friends in that circle. We have acquaintances out there. But he even said, come follow me. He said a lot, come follow me. He said, watch who your friends are. He said, if they love Christ, they're your friends. If they don't, let them go. And I'm not telling you not to have acquaintances, but I'm just telling you like Brother Bram said, your real friends are in here. When you build that house on a rock, that's what everything starts building around and builds from. Get your friends that way. Get your wife and her husband that way. Get whatever, you know, you're building your life on. Wise man builds his house upon a rock. You get your own new birth and everything will start from right there. But you got to want it for yourself. For what I said tonight, a bunch of yelling and slobbering and moving around. And I hate to say this, I'm just an old man to you now. You used to be old man to me. To some of you younger ones, I'm just an old man to you. I don't understand the world. I'm mean. I don't accept people. It's okay. I know how to accept them better than you do. You're just got a bunch of temporal garbage. But really, I love them. I love you. But what I do know is that the greatest thing that ever happened to me is getting a new birth. And it has blessed me my whole life. Individual life, my marriage life, my work life, my family life, my friendship life. When I woke up in the world life, that song says, my desire to help somebody today. I know how to help somebody the best way because I got this revelation I have. A lot of people help people in the world, but do you realize a bride really knows how to help people the best way? Why? You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Amen. What we have is the truth. Amen. Grace and truth. Amen. Oh, I thank God for this rock. Amen. I hope that makes sense to you. But I know one thing. I'm glad I built my house on a rock. And that's what every one of us need and what we do have. God bless you. Come on, Pastor. God bless you.
Thank God for the rock. And I was thinking about it when Jeremiah was talking about it. I thought, you know, that rock is everything. And to show you how much is everything, I was thinking about it. I said, a rock will be a foundation. A rock will be a defense. If somebody's trying to hurt you, you can climb behind a rock and get shelter. You can build a rock, a wall. You can throw a rock and kill your enemy. He's water in the wilderness. I started thinking, I said, that rock is really everything. Everything is in the rock. And if you get the rock, everything you need is in there. The children of Israel, they didn't even realize how blessed they were. Here they were walking through the wilderness and the rock was following them. When it got thirsty, gave him water. Yeah. Food came from somewhere. Yeah. He was still there. Right. And if he did that for them in the natural, think of how much the rock has helped you in the spiritual. Right. What's gotten you over your problems? Right. You threw a rock, the rock of revelation, at the devil. What's made you strong? The rock of revelation. The watering of the word coming through this place. and bathing you and cleaning you and making you stronger. And when a Satan comes at you, you hide behind that rock, and he can't get you. You know, you can't get somebody behind a rock. It's defense. It's a foundation. It's what you build your house on. It's what you... We live off of the rock. So why wouldn't you want it? Why wouldn't you want to just have that? Because it's solid. When you look at somebody who's been following the rock for a while, they're solid. They're not easily moved. They're not tossed to and fro. They know which side their bread is buttered on. They know where they get their water from. They know where they get their food from. And they're not worried about it too much if you don't get it. I mean, when you're really settled, when you know what's in that rock, you ain't worried whether everybody else is going to get it or not. You know, it's like you wish they'd all have it. You wish they had the reason. People say, well, how can you have such a rest? How could you lay your wife down and turn around and say, Satan, you lost me. You don't get me. It's just a little stronger than a man there. So, well, I do that because of the rock. I do that because of the revelation. I do that because I know who I am. I'd stand because I know who I am. When everybody else is turning their back against you and they don't know how to handle things and they're doing all manner of evil towards you, you stand right there as a rock. You're the one thing that's not movable. So that rock is really important to have, whether it's as an individual. You know, God uses that rock as an individual to make us strong. He uses that rock as the church to make us strong. So we won't be moved. In an hour that we're living in, and we got the revelation living in front of us like never before, my goodness. Enjoyed that, Brother Jeremiah. Come on, musicians. Amen. I don't. Oh, yes. A couple of announcements. Jeremiah, when do you go to Little Bethlehem?
March 9th, a week from tomorrow.
A week from tomorrow, okay. And I do have an announcement. We need help. We need about 2 people to work in the sound room. Right now, Praveen's doing it by himself. We need somebody to help him know what's going on back there, be able to catch, because we're down, Praveen's by himself right now, and he's got to go to training or something. So we're going to need some help here, and we need backup anyway, because I don't ever like to have one person by themselves. I see a head back there. Yeah. So we got one help back there, so we just need some help. So that I like duplicates. That's why I like multiple piano players, multiple organ players, multiple drummers, multiple guitar. I don't like anything streamlined to the point that, you know, we're stuck. And we don't want to let the devil stick us.
That's right.
So if you're interested at all, get with Praveen, and he's going to get things set up so that we can have some help back there. I was thinking about it. I said, you know, we had Brother Neil. Long time ago, doing tapes. And then Brother Neil got, I think, Brother Solomon helping him doing tapes. Then Brother Neil's not here. Then Brother Solomon was here. They got Brother Joe helping him. And then Brother Solomon left. And then Joe got Praveen helping him. Now, Joe's MIA. I'm not sure where he's at. I'm praying for him because I haven't seen him for a while. But we can't afford to stop. We got too big of a picture here. So, you know, you always should get nervous when somebody else starts doing your job. But we need some help because the tape ministry services on the internet is so important. So we need some help with that. So if you want to help out, let Praveen know, and we'll have some stuff put together for you.
Sunday, so there's going to be a training between now and Sunday, so let him know so we can figure out when that's going to be.
Right. So, because he's got to leave town. You know, Praveen's an important man.
Yeah, he is.
So we want to get him some help and make sure that we have duplication on everything. We don't just have one person cleaning the church. We got multiple people doing multiple things, so we are never You don't even drive without a spare tire in the car. You know, at least you shouldn't. It's not a good idea. So we want to get Praveen the help that we need. And, you know, if you're sitting out there and you've wondered, Lord, I need something to do. There you go. You may have asked, so there you go. And it doesn't help. It doesn't hurt to have two or three. Like you see, I'm rotating through the pianos and we rotate through the organs, so it ain't nothing new. We do this here all the time. So cutting the grass, they rotate through that. So that's called a body ministry. And this is a real important part of the body ministry because it goes worldwide. And we can't afford to be down. We can't afford to say, well, we can't have services on the internet because we don't have anybody there. No, we will have somebody there. I used to do it long time ago, back when it was a single engine plane. Now it's a 747. You go in there and that whole area just lights up when they push a couple of buttons. I don't want me messing with it. It's left me long time ago. So keep those things in mind. Come back Sunday. Funeral arrangements. Sister Donna's going home, but we have to do her funeral, and Brother Mike asked me to do the funeral. So the viewing will be Saturday from 2 to 4 at Anderson's Funeral Home in Franklin. And then I will be doing the funeral there right immediately following. So if you're wanting to come, we're going to have Dawn and them send out a notice with the address and stuff for everybody. But keep Brother Mike and their family in your prayers. You know, though we have a revelation, we're still human. You know, and don't be afraid to cry because Jesus wept. And don't feel like you can't or you got to be strong. No, this is a time when you lean on the body. You know, you can. I'm weak, but thou art strong. You know, when you're weak, I want to be strong for you, and when I'm weak, you're strong for me. I know when my dad passed, I was really strong for the family till I saw Fairboy walk in the door. Then I was like, oh, and they took care of me. So we'll take care of Brother Mike and family. So keep them in your prayers, and it's not long before Easter. Easter services are coming up. It's going to be on Palm Sunday. It's going to be April 1st and 2nd, and I've been in touch with Brother Tony. I sent him one of the flyers, and he had me put it out on the ministry's page where there's like hundreds of ministers, so they all know about it, and he's coming. And then immediately after the Easter meeting, the next day, Monday, is when Doug and I head out to go to the Philippines. So pray for that. I've been working with Brother June and Brother Victor on the details on that. Pray for us. It's going to be a busy time. We'll be gone about 10 days or so. And so we covet your prayers. Amen. What's that? I don't see the song in here. It's I Go to the Rock. I know they've got it in the system somewhere. So if they could find that. The Rock of My Salvation. The stone that the builders rejected? No, that's a different one. This is, where do I go when there's... Yeah, that's a different one. On Christ the Solid Rock, I stand is a different song. Really? Where do I go when there's no one to talk? But you're going to have to give me a lower key. It says, the name of the song is I Go to the Song. Oh, there it is. I Go to the Rock. Where do I go? Ooh, what key is that? Try A. See, I can see that because I'm not playing. Where do I go when there's no one else? That was A, go to G. Sorry, y'all. I don't like messing up songs like that. Where do I go when there's no one else to turn to? And who do I talk to when no one wants to listen? And who do I turn on, lean on
go to the rock. I know that's able. I go to the rock. Oh, I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountains and the mountains stand by me. Order all around me is seeking sand. Oh Christ, the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Well, I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain and the mountain stand by me. Order all around me is sinking sand. Oh Christ, the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Well, I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain and the mountain stand by me. On earth all around me, sinking sand. Christ, the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Well, I go to the rock.
I go to the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the mountain. The mountain stands by me. The earth all around me is sinking sand. Oh Christ, the solid rock I stand. When I need a friend, I go to the rock.
You're dismissed.